Did you know that by eating bread, you were polluting? Yes, you are. And the recording is about this, about how from farm to grocery store, a loaf of bread impacts the planet. And in order to analyze this topic, the recording involves three speakers. The first one is the host. The second one is a journalist or an interviewer. And the third one is Ritu Chatterjee, NPR's food editor. In this document, the three speakers are here to persuade the listener that eating bread is something polluting and that consumers have to adopt different ways of consuming. In order to do that, they explain the steps through which bread goes in order to be made. So first, there is the growing process, then the milling process, and then the baking process. These three steps pollute, but more or less depending on the process. So in order to analyze this document, I'll mention three themes that are central to the audio document. The first theme is food and global warming, the link between the two. The second theme is related to green ways to produce food. And the last, but not least, theme is related to green ways to consume. So first, a link between food and global warming is established in the recording. They explain that making a single loaf of bread releases about 21 ounces of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Since the UK consumes over 4 billion loaves every year, it means about 2.6 million tons of greenhouse gases are released into the atmosphere. That's enormous, and that's what's thrust into relief by the journalists. Then they offer solutions, notably green ways to produce food in order to avoid this pollution. And they explain that the growing of the wheat or the farming leads to nearly 50% of the overall emissions associated with the bread. A solution would be to stop using nitrogen fertilizers that are applied on the farms because 40% of the emissions are coming from the manufacture and the use of nitrogen fertilizers on farms. Again, this statistic is huge. And in the recording, statistics are used in order to convince the listener even more and in order to magnify the importance of the problem. And at the end of the recording, another solution is offered, namely green ways to consume. So the interviewee explains that the fact of eating food with fewer emissions is called being climate smart. She adds that it will soon appear next to nutritional labels. So all in all, the recording is about pondering on the impact of food on the environment and trying to find solutions to the different problems created not only by production, but also by consumption. And at the very end, they offer this idea of being climate smart. Yet, this is the topic that I would like to question today. Indeed, it appears that in the end, pollution should be solved by consumers and by being climate smart. Could a company be climate smart? I'm not sure. At least it is not mentioned in the recording. So again, the consumer has to take care of the environment, but producers do not have to. So is this concept of being climate smart really efficient? Wouldn't it be more efficient to create rules for producers in order for them not to pollute? In order to answer this question, I will follow two parts. The first part is about being climate smart. Is it a label reserved to consumers? And the second part is about the threat of greenwashing. And I will use the example of greenwashing to illustrate why being climate smart is actually a smart idea. So first, is being climate smart a label reserved to consumers? Well, it appears that yes, it seems to be. And this is the first feeling of consumers. Actually, since the COVID pandemic, 40% of consumers say that they are more likely to buy more ethical goods and that they care for the environment. And they also want companies to help them in their choices and to help them in their fight against climate change. And the problem is that perceptions of how much governments and large companies and other producers are doing to protect nature are highly correlated with the consumer propensity to take personal action. But on the matter of the environment, it doesn't really seem so. Because yes, on the one hand, consumers ask for more sustainable goods and greener choices. But on the other hand, companies offer not that green goods, if you see what I mean. And here I'm leading you to the idea of greenwashing. Because yes, what companies want is to make profit. And in order to do that, they want to answer consumers' desires, and they produce what looks as green goods and sustainable goods. But are they really green and sustainable? That's the question. There are plenty of examples of brands that pretend to be green in order to gain more consumers. For instance, Starbucks' more sustainable strawless lid is an example of that, of greenwashing. A part of a sustainability drive to reduce waste sent to landfills, Starbucks released a strawless lid that offered consumers an open-faced plastic lid instead of the traditional version of its takeaway cup that feature a disposable straw. The chief sustainability officer of Starbucks said that it was green, it was a good choice for the consumer. Then a problem appeared, and it revealed that the new lid was not that green at all, and that this technique was greenwashing. Because actually, the new lid contained more plastic than the old lid and straw combination. The company noted that the new lid was made with polypropylene, a material that could be recycled. However, critics flagged that only 9% of the world's plastic is reportedly recycled, meaning that this change would likely result in more plastic being sent to landfills. So all in all, in order to conclude, the example of Starbucks shows that a company such as Starbucks is completely able to play with impressions, with statistics, numbers, materials, in order to make people think that what they produce is green. So imagine if there was any rule aimed at protecting the environment and reducing, the production of plastic and the use of plastic by companies, would they really respect that? So, in the end, isn't it a smart choice to let consumers choose and protect the environment? Because the example of Starbucks showed that by using strategies of greenwashing, the company actually polluted more than before. So all in all, in this capitalistic society in which companies are only interested in having more consumers and money, isn't it more intelligent to let consumers protect the environment?